Okay, now we're going. All right. So what I'm going to do is do my little squares with y'all. Now, the first thing I want you to understand, I've been basically working on my quote-unquote timeline for about 15 years. Okay? So don't look at what I'm doing and go, oh my gosh, that's overwhelming. I've been doing this a long time because I got a lot of squares to process.
Dana, are you talking about these squares?
No, I was talking about these squares. These squares. What we're talking about today, thank you, Kathy, because last week your homework was the tool and technique timeline, and you were to work on your timeline, looking back at memories from childhood on. If you have not done that, don't stress. I'm going to let you do it today, so you'll work on it, so don't stress. Don't worry about it. But this is what I'm going to share with you, and it looks weird right now, but you'll understand it. Just to kind of share with you my processing so you won't feel so bad. These are kind of what my sheets look like. So, you know, yours may look like that, or they may be half blank. It doesn't matter. So, what I did to help me, it's a little bit different than what the paper says, what the tool and technique says, because this is just how I process. I'm a very visual person, so it just helps me. So, I'm going to do it this way. All right, my squares. I broke it down by periods of time. You can do it differently. I did youth, which for me that encompassed up to high school. You may want to break it down further. Then I have high school, that's what that stands for, high school relationships, and then I have college. And this is kind of where I stopped just for teaching purposes today. So, by the way, I am recording this. I don't know if I'll put it on the web or not. Depends on what comes out of my mouth. So, all right. I did a lot of prelim work on this, and I'm going to give you guys the overview without all the details. Basically, my young life, the message that I got, and this is what I'm going to write in this first box for you who are listening, if you get to listen, is that the message I got was that I was a burden. And that was, you know, my parents were sinful people with their own windings, with their own issues, and that is a message that I received, whether it was meant or not, that's what I received, is that I was a burden. So the lie that I got from that, well, if I'm a burden to my parents, then I'm worthless. That was the lie I believed. I'm worthless. So, based on that message and the lie that I received, I made a decision. My decision was, I must prove my value. Because if not, I was going to disappear and die, was what my little girl fear was. I would disappear and die, so I had to prove my value. So that translated to things like, it's all on me, was more of a grown-up way that looked. As a little girl, basically I screamed, see me. I just wanted somebody to see me, because if not, I was going to disappear and die. So that was my youth. Then came high school. And the message that I got was, if you perform well, you get approval. So I did a lot of that. If my goal in high school, and I've said this before, but y'all, seriously, it's really sad. Say that this is the yearbook, you know, and here's your little picture. Like, I'll do this. Let's say this one of these squares is your little picture. Beside your picture in your senior yearbook, you got to put all your activities. My goal was to, like, take up her space and his space. That was my goal. By golly, I did it. Aren't you proud? But seriously, that was my goal. Because if you perform well, you get approval. If you get approval, then you're not worthless. You have value if you get approval. So the lie I believed is, you know, to get the most approval so that I have the most value is I've got to be the best. I have to be the best at everything. Not just be on the dance team, be captain of the dance team. Don't just be in Anchor Club, be president of the Anchor Club, and so on and so forth. So I decided, well, basically I decided I would be the best. So therefore, that was my intention. That's what I strived to do, be the best. Be in every club, be president of everything. That was a near impossible standard, but not quite impossible. So what I learned, what that said to me is, I can do this. I can so do this. got to be the best? All right. Got to be president? Okay, watch me go. And so I just got on one performance track after another. So it was the performance track. Then there were high school relationships, boyfriend, friends, whatever. Message that I got, people lie. They hurt you. And you can't trust them. So the lie that I believe, you can't trust people. It's not safe to trust people. So the decision that I made is I won't. I won't trust people. I won't depend on people. I won't need people. I'll take care of myself. Because again, and how that translated is people aren't safe. So then we have a huge transition. I go to college, okay? And I become a Christian in college. Yay, I found Jesus. Well, unfortunately, the message that I got from that was just, let's get on the religious performance track. So I just got on a different track of religion. Have your quiet time, disciple, go to Bible study, pray longer, disciple more people. Share the gospel, go on mission trips, blah, blah, blah. So the lie was, this is a good thing. That's a good thing. And so I decided, basically, I'm going to keep on doing that. I'm just going to transfer all this. I'm just going to keep on doing that. Which, also when I was in college, I got married. Okay? So if you look at all these things, what they basically translate to is independence. Let's see what else I wrote. Oh, wrong paper. They translate to independence. And the deep conviction that I don't need anybody. Don't need anybody. Which, if you're wondering, does not jive very well with being a Christian and being a wife. Just saying. Not real fun for my husband. If I've decided I'm not going to trust you, I'm not going to depend on you. So, taking all this, what I have started trying to do is get to a deeper, what does all this say? What does all this have in common? This is kind of what I'm going to have you guys do on your little yellow paper that you do. What was I desiring? What deep desire, what need did not get met in all this mess? And basically, the first one is right here. I wanted to be seen. Because like I said, my fear was I was going to disappear and die. I would have nightmares about disappearing in a ditch and no one would miss me. So I wanted to be seen, which also translates to loved, valued. Just somebody want me. That'd be nice. Then my second need, which is a little bit deeper, I needed safety. All this, I can do this, I can take care of myself. This was all an attempt to just keep myself safe. If I can control this right here, I'm good. Doesn't matter what all y'all are doing, I'm gonna be in control, so I'll be safe. But y'all, really the total underlying, legitimate, deepest need I have is for peace. I spent so much of my life in that fight or flight mode, I just needed rest, I needed peace. And really, I needed shalom, which is that soul rest, that deep assurance on the inside that I'm okay, that I'm safe, and that everything's going to be fine. That's what I was looking for. So I was trying to provide it for myself. That's what we do. Because we have these needs. God placed these needs in us. He placed these desires in us for a reason. But they were meant to get met in Him. And I wasn't getting a met in Him. I didn't know Him until I was 18 years old. So I didn't have another option. I had me. And I got real good at it. So then, you know, you put Jesus on the throne. If you don't have proper training, which I didn't at that time, I just got on a different track. So that's what I did. Some of y'all may have done the same. The reason that we look at this, why are we even looking at our past? I mean, what's the point? You know, some of y'all might be saying, the past is the past. My husband used to say that all the time. Why do we need to write this letter? The past is the past. It's in the past. Well, y'all, this forms how we act. If we get this message, we believe this lie, then we decide this truth, that's what forms what we act, how we act. It makes the decisions for us. It determines how we think about things. It determines how we think about ourselves. That's what we're going to act like, is that rut that we've been in our whole lives. So unless we break this cycle, we're just going to keep on doing what we keep on doing, because that's what we believe. We studied this verse, Proverbs 23:7, says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as you think, as you believe these lies, so are you. I love these quotes I found last night. Bill Johnson, who's the pastor at Bethel Church, says, if you believe the lie, you empower the liar. And then Catherine Marshall Lasorde says, defective thinking can ascribe more power to evil than God. So that was sobering for me, y'all, to think, if I'm believing these lies, I'm basically handing Satan power. I'm like, here you go. You want this part of my life? Go for it. Here you go. You want an open door? Well, I'm just going, let me hold it for you. Let me hold this door for you and let you just come on into my family. And y'all, we wouldn't do that consciously, but that's what we're doing. And I don't think y'all want to do that. So somewhere in the last 15 years, my belief system began to get challenged. One huge way that happened is my precious friend and mentor, Kathy. She did not feed my approval addiction. In case y'all didn't catch this, this is what approval addiction looks like. She didn't feed that. Not that she didn't tell me I was great and wonderful, because she loves me, but she did not. It wasn't like, okay, I perform, and she gives me kudos. She gave me approval just in random places and times, and I'd go, but I didn't do anything. It was kind of weird for me. I'm like, I'm not used to this. And then sometimes I would do some great things, and I'd be like, you know, like the puppy going, and nothing. And I was like, you are not playing fair. You're not doing it right. But she knew what she was doing. Because she loved me, she knew before I did that I was an approval addict. And so she didn't feed it, and I love her for that. But that started to challenge my process, my thinking and believing process. And y'all became aware that I was an approval addict. And y'all may think that sounds like a silly term, but y'all, it is deadly. It really is deadly. It was as deadly to me as alcoholism or drug abuse or anything like that. So I'm so glad that I realized it. But what that did when I realized I was an approval addict, it put me in a state of course, deep repentance, deep mourning, deep grieving. But then if you're an approval addict and you get all your value from what you do, well, then where are you? There's this verse that I love, love, love. And it's on my paper somewhere. Oh, Isaiah 64:6 in the New Living, which I love it, especially today with all the fall leaves. It says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. That's what my righteous deeds were, y'all. Filthy rags. And there were so many filthy rags, I could have filled a stadium with them. I promise you. So when I realized that basically what I was doing was self-righteousness and pride, I was kind of in a place of depression, I'll just be honest with you. Because when you get all your value from what you do, and then you realize that what you're doing is filthy rags, well, now what are you? But what that did, y'all, it put me in a place where I could receive the truth, where I could receive the truth of what God had to say about me, that I am his child, I'm his beloved bride, I'm helped, protected, delighted in, of great value, provided for, lavished, loved, sought after. I'm pursued, wanted, unique, created for a purpose, important. I'm waited on. I'm not a burden. I'm seen, heard, spoken to. I'm a lame sheep who gets carried close to his heart. That he's strong when I am weak, and that I was created to be in relationship with him and with other people. And I was able to receive that truth. And like I said, it's been a 15-year process and will continue to be a process. And y'all, this is what, let me use my different color pen. This is where this process gets broken. I mean, you can break it anywhere, but this is where I've identified with me. This is where I have to break this cycle. I'm drawing a line between the message block and the lie block. That I've got to arrest this process. so that I can receive the truth that God has for me. Because when we do this, when we replace it with truth, then we're going to think differently, and then we're going to act differently. And when we change our minds, this is where we change our minds for the better. It's where we do that rethinking thing that Kathy's been talking about. And we're going to act not based on wounds and lies, but we're going to act based on truth. Okay, so I'm replacing, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to erase what's in my boxes and replace it with truth. So I'm erasing the lie from my childhood that you are worthless. And I'm replacing it with 1 John 3:1 that says I'm lavished. That's the verse that says how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. So if I'm lavished, then I have great worth. So I have decided that I have great worth. And that's going to change the way I think, and that's going to change the way I act. Okay, so I'm erasing the lie that I have to be the best. And this is from high school. I'm erasing the lie that I have to be the best, and I'm replacing it with Romans 3:22 that says I have the righteousness of God based on faith in Christ, not on the law. I'm also going to replace it with Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that says it's by grace I'm saved through faith, nothing that I can do myself. So if that's true, that I'm saved by grace, if it's true that I've got Christ's righteousness and so I don't need my own righteousness, I'm going to replace that with Psalm 46:10. And I love the version, and I didn't write down which one it was, but that's the one that says, be still and know that I'm God. But I love the one that says, cease striving. So I'm going to cease striving. And y'all, I can't tell you how good that feels right there. Instead of having to be the best at everything, I'm going to cease striving, and I'm going to know that he is God. That's made a huge difference in my life. So now I'm erasing the block, the lie, that says that I can't trust people. And you know, honestly, sometimes you can't trust people. That's just the truth. But God is trustworthy. That's the truth. God is trustworthy. That is Hebrews 6:18 also tells us that he can't lie. People lie. God cannot lie. It's impossible. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't. So, since God is trustworthy and he can't lie, I have decided that I will trust him. So y'all see how that works? When you replace the truth, when you replace the lies with the truth, it changes all of this. And here's the cool thing. These deep desires that I told you about earlier, if you'll look at these decisions, well, I erased them already, but the decisions that I had made, that I won't trust people, that I'm going to do it on my own, those are all in direct opposition to having safety, to having peace, to being seen. So it's like you sabotage yourself, y'all. When you make these decisions based on lies, you sabotage what you want the most. But then when you fulfill it with truth, okay, if I have great worth, am I going to feel seen and loved and valued? Yeah. If I cease striving, am I going to have peace? Yeah. If I trust God, am I going to have safety? Am I going to have peace? Yeah. See how that works? So that's how the enemy works, is that he knows our deep desires. He knows what God has planted in us. He's not stupid. And all these things that we do to try and get our needs met in ways other than God sabotage the very things that God made us for. And you're not going to be the woman that God created you to be if you're living in direct opposition to your deep desires. So that's why we're doing this. That's why we go back and look at all this stuff. It's not for nothing. So does anybody have questions on this part so far? Oh, good. So, good, I have time for my little testimony. Okay, like I said, this has been a 15-year process that will continue. But it's not like, okay, I used to be an approval addict, and now I'm not anymore. I don't struggle with that anymore. I still do, y'all. I still sometimes do, but there's a difference. The greatest thing that these days that gets in my way of this soul rest and shalom that I want so much is comparison. I know none of y'all probably struggle with it, but just indulge me as I do. So I want to give you a little testimony of what it has looked like recently. So about 5 years ago, God called me to paint. It's a really cool story. If you want to do lunch, I'll tell you the whole thing. But the details are not important to this. So just know, bottom line, he called me to paint, and it was a way to recapture my childhood, to redo a lot of this that was up there before. It was a way that I could play, come and play, is what I call my company, because that's how I play with Jesus. So I worship, I enjoy beauty, and I get to paint. And then he's called me to do some art shows. And so at the art shows, I get to share the story. I get to share God's story. I get to share stories behind the paintings. I get to connect with people. And as a sidebar benefit, I sometimes make money. So I had a show recently, and afterward, y'all, I was feeling really down because I was comparing myself with my next door neighbor whose stuff sold for like $800 to $1,500 per piece. And I was comparing myself to my sweet friend who was at the same show, who is amazing and loves Jesus. I was comparing myself to her. And the way I was doing that was I was making my little measuring stick. You probably have your own. But mine was, okay, who brought the most pieces? Who was able to complete the most paintings? Who sold the most paintings? Who made the most money? Who's gotten in the most shows? Okay, all that. Who had the most friends come to the show? All this stuff. And y'all, every single question, I'm down here. I was at the bottom. I lost out on every single measuring stick I lost. So I was just like, I stink. I'm really not any good. And this is what I'm feeling, okay? I'm feeling I'm not any good, I made a mistake, I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting everybody else's time. But the difference is, y'all, I didn't take that Love's Lies and go, so therefore, I'm not doing this anymore. Therefore, I'm throwing my paints in the garbage. I knew, okay, this is off. So instead of slapping a band-aid on it and saying, but God says, this is how I'm supposed to feel. I still felt that way, y'all. I still felt, dang, I'm not any good. So I went to my husband because God has called me to be in relationship with other people. And I can trust him. He's a safe place. He's not perfect, but he's someone that I can risk with. So I went to him and said, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, I know this is off. Talk to me, babe. And he was so sweet. I love it when God uses my husband to be the voice of Christ because it's like a twofer. That's what I call it. Because then I get to affirm him and we get connected. But I was like, look, this is how, I mean, look at all this comparison. She made more money than I made the whole show in like the first 5 hours. And then look, she's posting a new picture on Facebook like every single stinking day. Oh my gosh, do you know it takes me 10 days to do a painting? And he's like, chill. He said, sweetie, this is what he told me. He said, number one, your friend who is awesome and loves Jesus is an interior designer. She paints with basically the 4 or 5 prominent colors that are on the scene right now that are going to match everybody's house basically over and over again so she can do it fast, and she's in it to make money. I was like, yeah, you're right. And he looked at me, he goes, that's not why you paint. I went, oh yeah, I paint because I'm playing with Jesus and I'm worshiping and I'm connecting with him. And so when he told me that, it was like everything just went whoosh. It was like comparing not even apples and oranges, but like apples and acorns. I thought, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? So it just made everything fall into place. And I was like, yes. So I was able to give thanks for whatever money that I made. I was able to give thanks for whatever number of paintings that I produced. I was able to love the paintings that I produced instead of feeling like I should have done more. I was able to give thanks and support my friend instead of saying, don't you put another picture on Facebook. You know, I was able to go, look at you. You are cranking them out. And I love her paintings. They're beautiful. So it just took everything. It took the wind out of Satan's sails. So I say that just to tell you that it's not that I don't still struggle, but it's arresting the process. I've learned to arrest the process. I've learned that dashboard light has gone off. This is not lining up with Scripture. I know better. Sometimes I can do it myself. Sometimes I need other people. And oftentimes God causes me to need other people because my MO is to be independent and do it myself. So I love when he uses other people so that I can appreciate the people that he's put in my life. So that is those are my blocks. That is my little testimony of what it looks like on me right now. Do y'all have any questions about what you're supposed to do with your little worksheet? You want to go over this real quick? Your yellow worksheet if you've already worked on your timeline over the week, you may already be bursting at the seams, ready to go to your prayer room. Today, if I didn't say before, which I did not, is trumpet call, which is why I'm standing here and not Catherine Ann. And so what you'll do is you'll work on this yellow paper or on your tool and technique that you had from last week. You'll work on that in here, and then one at a time you come to your group room and you'll get prayed for by your leader and her assistant. So we get a little bit more time to pray specifically over the issues that we've been dealing with instead of just, you know, okay, you've got 2 minutes, go. Just have a little bit more one-on-one time and more time to pray. So if you have not started anything or if you just want to do this, you can do this yellow sheet. And basically, it's the same blocks. I just put the blocks closer together. Message received, lie or truth believed, and decision made. And I just don't feel like you have to get all this done today. Just ask the Lord. The point is to get in touch with what God wants to do today. So, okay, childhood. Is there some memory, God, from childhood that you really want me to pay attention to right now? Okay, no? Then go on to the next, middle school, or however you want to break it down. If it, there's a different period of life, if you want to do last week, whatever. Just get in touch with whatever memory God wants you to focus on right now, a message that you received, a lie or truth that you believed, and a decision that you made as a result of that. And then camp out there. Don't worry about getting all these blocks filled in. Then if you'll look at the back of the page, so when you look over what you wrote in the table, what patterns do you see? Like mine, I mean, I could have written independence, independence, independence after every one of these. That's a pattern that was very obvious to me. If you don't see any patterns, what causes your emotions to stir the most? What, when you look at what you've written, what is really causing you to stir? What brings tears to your eyes? Kind of pay attention to that and write whatever insights you have there. Then based on these insights, try to identify a legitimate need or a deep desire that you've been trying to get met or that didn't get met when you were younger. I gave you some examples under that, so you don't have to come up with one, but you may have a different one. Because remember that those things are planted in you by God. God planted those deep desires in you for a reason, but they're meant to get met by Him. So then if you realize that you have sought to meet your own desires in illegitimate ways, repent and ask God to change your mind for the better. And then ask Him, what do you say about it? What can I erase and put in these blocks, Lord? What truth are you giving me? And hopefully that's where we're going to be able to help you today. Maybe you don't know what truth to put there. Maybe you don't know what you're supposed to believe. That's what we're going to talk through. That's what we want to help you come up with, is some scriptures, some truths that you can stand on instead of the lies that you've believed. And then for homework, just keep on working on this tool and technique. We're going to next week get together and have an extended time of praise and extended time of group. So we'll work on that some more, talk about it some more next week. So any questions on that? No? Can we pray? And then I'm going to put on a listening prayer song. Just as the leaders go to our rooms, there are two songs that we're going to do. One is I Am. That's the lyrics that you have because it's kind of hard to understand on the song. And just listen. Write down anything that God gives you. It's just listen in prayer. Pray, listen, write, whatever you need to do. And then when you're ready, you can come to your group room, and I'll turn this board around that will tell you where your group room is. So let me pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much, Lord, just for the work that you're doing. God, I do just ask that you would reveal lies that we've been believing. God, reveal messages that are not from you. God, would you show us decisions that we've made out of self-protection, out of trying to meet our own needs? God, would you just show us the ways that we've done that? We thank you that you are so quick to forgive, that you are so quick to walk us through these places. So I pray for wisdom and discernment and revelation. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can stop the recording.